Cut. I think my food is here. I'll be right back. I'm so sorry.
Go get your groceries. No problem. Gentle listener, while Bethany is gone, I would like to tell you some Valentine's Day jokes. Do you want? Are you into that? Okay, let's do it.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your Veep binging for the third time, wanting to make friends with crows because they're smart. I'm desperate to make over my apartment friend.
And I'm Kathleen Haney, your finally learned where Idaho is, mochi cake eating. There are so many sales today and I'm trying to refrain from spending friend.
If you've ever felt like you don't belong, you belong with us. And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week, Bethany, and you inspired me.
Ooh.
Your topic last week, you were talking about where the vice president lives.
Yes.
And one of your fun facts was that the vice president's house is near a really cool escape room in Washington, D.C.
Yes, it's true.
We made a joke. Wouldn't it be funny if you took kids to a sex escape room by accident? Hearty har har. And so my topic this week is sex escape rooms. And then my research further went on to BDSM dungeons.
And are sex escape rooms a thing?
I'm going to tell you. You just have to wait.
Okay. And my topic is, I want you to get into the mindset of where I live, which is the holiday is over. Here's what you should have done about it. Because I'm usually late to everything. I'm late getting birthday presents to people, et cetera, et cetera. So Valentine's Day was over the weekend. So I'm going to go through a bunch of insane, expensive, trashy, or just bizarre gifts you could have gotten for your partner for Valentine's Day. There are a lot of different types of people in this world.
You know, for the first time maybe ever, you and Dennis like really did big posts about each other for Valentine's Day on your socials.
Neither of us really believes in the holiday very much. And
well, I couldn't tell that by your post.
So I was at Ariel most of the day, and he, mm-hmm. without me realizing it, had made this really lovely post. Just, and it was this picture of like our first Valentine's Day together, and I'm looking at him maniacally. If you go to his Instagram, Dennis Callow, he is smiling at the camera and I am full crazy eyes smiling at him. And he thought it was a really lovely picture until he got to know me better, knowing that I'm insane and just like to torture him. And so he did like this lovely post about it. And so then I'm like, I can't not post back. So I posted a picture. And, you know, I hate to be gushy about somebody. I just think it's really, no one wants to read gush, you know?
No, I enjoyed reading your posts about each other. So you kind of like guilt posted.
I guilt posted because I didn't think we were doing anything for Valentine's Day. He told me we weren't doing anything. And then I find out that he did this post. And so then I was like, well, crap. And I got home and he had like laid out all of these donuts and he had like put on arsenic and old lace on the projector and like he had just like music playing. I'm like, we weren't going to do anything. And then he did something. What did you guys do?
We ate Indian food until we hated ourselves, just filled our bellies while wearing our nastiest sweatpants, which is tradition for us.
How are you feeling?
And then this morning, I'm not feeling so great. Actually, it's this afternoon because I had to ask Bethany to postpone recording because my stomach just can't take it anymore.
You texted me. You're like, I'm not feeling great.
Truly, all I wanted for Valentine's Day was alone time.
You can't really say that to your partner, though, can you?
No, you can't. No, you can't say that.
No.
You can't say that to your partner. No. Neil actually has off today because it's President's Day.
Oh, that's right.
And he's at Target right now. And Bethany, this may be the first time that I've been alone in my apartment since the beginning of the pandemic.
Why does he never leave the house?
Because where are we? We're not going anywhere. He's not hanging out with his friends.
But like he doesn't go get groceries or anything?
Every now and then, but he like to go to Target. He's at Target right now. You have to take the car. Elsewise, he's walking and he's back in a jiffy. And so this is the first time in a whole year that I've really sort of just been alone by myself in my apartment.
Ooh, and you're not even alone because you're recording the podcast.
You know what? It's okay. And it's like, do you think I can ask him to go to his mom's house next week?
No, you sir. No, you absolutely
why?
Can't.
I just want to be alone. You get alone time. It's not fair.
No, that's why I've made my life this way. I've designed my life the way I want it to be. Look, I don't think you can ask him to leave the house. I think maybe you can leave the house. And like rent a hotel room for the night. Maybe just like go to a hotel room that is honest about the way they're cleaning and give yourself a little. I'm sure he would like alone time too. Not that you're not like a sparkling butterfly, but you know.
He gets alone time. I go to my mom's house.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Do you know Sarah Blakely? She's the creator of Spanx.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She turned 50 recently, I think last week. And for her birthday, she went to a hotel and stayed for 7 days by herself. And she was documenting the whole thing where she was just like eating French fries with every meal. She was going to the spa. She was sleeping in. And yeah. I was so jealous.
That's the way to do it. Being alone, if you're someone who is always around people, being alone is just a gift. Like my first radio job in Minneapolis, every Christmas we would do this thing called Christmas Wish, and we would have people write in and, you know, nominate someone who they think was deserving of being given gifts for Christmas, whatever they needed. And so often people would say, like, this woman is a single mom, she has 3 jobs, she has, you know, 2 children that she's caring for, and what she really needs is like a babysitter for a week. Like, it was never money. It was never, you know, she needs a new car. It was like, she needs alone time.
Yep.
It's vital. It's vital.
And, you know, during the pandemic, I feel like there are 2 very different ends of the spectrum. People who never get to be alone, and then people who are just only always alone. And can we talk about Idaho for a second?
Yeah. So you just learned where Idaho was. And in that way, you illuminated me, because I got to tell you, we both thought Idaho was in a completely different spot.
The Taste Buds did like a Palentine's Day Zoom this weekend, 2 different times. It was like 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock. And so very briefly, I signed into the 3 o'clock one. And there was a taste bud named Tia, who we were going around the Zoom room talking about what our favorite cocktails were. And Tia is like, well, I'm a beer girl, but I probably get stuff here on the West Coast that you don't get where you are. And I was like, hold a minute. Hold the phone. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Idaho. West Coast? Like, for a second I was like, wait, are you in California? Because everybody's Zoom name was their name and then where they're from. And I thought maybe she did Idaho, like you, Idaho.
As a joke. Core based humor for Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And she's like, no, we're next to Washington and Oregon. We're the Pacific Northwest. And I was like, oh my God, I never thought about it.
You know what? I think I've always gotten Illinois and Idaho confused. Like, when I read books or anything really, I base things on their first letter. So if there's 2 characters in a book and they both have the same first letter starting their name,
okay,
I assume they're the same person, because I think I just clock that first letter and then move on. And I think I do that with states too. I think I did it with Illinois and Idaho.
And Idaho. Well, there you go. You learn something new every day.
Speaking of learning new things, I want to thank a couple of taste buds. I don't have your names in front of me right now, and I apologize, but you know who you are. A couple of people reached out to me because I asked last week, what do you do if you're someone who believes that everything has a soul and a spirit and you need to get rid of some old stuffed animals and they're not in great condition, so you can't donate them, you know, you can't like give them to a hospital or whatever. A couple of people reached out and said, donate them to your local animal shelters. Because a lot of times animals need something soft and cuddly to cuddle up to and to get all snuggy with, which would be lovely. And I hadn't even thought of that. I didn't know that animal shelters did that. I knew animal shelters sometimes take old fur. Like if your, you know, great grandmother has a fur coat and you're like, I can't wear this. It's gross. Ethically gross, not like physically gross. Like give it to, and it can comfort animals who are lying on real fur. So thank you for the people who let me know that. And that's going to be what I can do. And that makes me happy.
That's great. I love that solution.
Yeah, it's a great solution.
Fabulous.
Yeah, fabulous. All right, Kathleen.
Yeah. Wait, before we wrap up, can I just ask you one question?
You asked me.
You said in your opener that you're dying to redo your apartment.
Kathleen.
they're good sales today. So maybe today's a good day to kick it off.
I don't know what I'm allowed to do. I really just, I need to paint something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to paint some walls.
Yeah.
I got to like.
You're allowed to paint. You've been there long enough.
I know. But the thing with painting is that when you move, then you have to paint it back. And it's like one more thing you have to do.
No, you don't, bro. Nah. No, you don't.
Yeah, you do. Otherwise, you don't get your deposit back.
I never paint it back. I always get my deposit back.
You serious?
Yeah. No. I mean, like if the paint looks good, who cares? Your landlady's not going to care.
No, my landlady's dope.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I really.
So paint something.
Like, I've been reading a lot of interior decoration, you know, websites lately, as I've been saying. And now I just have the bug to, yeah. You know, I really want to like take some subway tile, but zhuzh it up by adding, you know, a stencil with some chalk paint. And like,
yes,
you know, it's really all about the sealant, Kathleen, is what I'm coming to learn. If you're going to redo your floor, it's all about the sealant. You can pay whatever you want on that floor. It's all about the sealant.
It's all about the sealant.
It's all about the sealant.
Yes. Here's the trick. If you're going to redo your floor and you're going to seal it in, you need marine grade poly.
What does that mean?
It means it's the type of poly that they use on boats.
Oh.
You know, to seal boats in.
So that all the sailors go slipping and sliding and everyone laughs and laughs.
Exactly, exactly.
If it's good enough for our boys, as they used to say.
It's good enough.
It's good enough for my kitchen floor.
Your floor. Okay, Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen, my everything.
Until last week, and we started joking about sex escape rooms, this was not something that I even thought about it ever existing.
No, because usually sex and escape room are not things you want together. You know, like,
so
if you, like, if you're trying to escape a room, you probably want to not add sex to that unless it's like a game you're playing.
Are you a fan of escape rooms in general?
I've only been to one.
Yeah.
I was terrible at it, but it was fun. My thing about escape rooms is my the same thing I have about haunted houses, which is there's always the one chance that this is the time that they didn't fully background check one of the employees and like they're actually going to lock you in here and kill you. That sits in the back of my mind.
There are kinky escape rooms out there that could fit under the category of sex escape rooms.
Have you done escape rooms before?
I did it once. I'm terrible at them, but I love getting real drunk and watching my friends fight with each other.
What was the theme for your escape room?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
So there are naughty escape rooms, but they vary in levels of how kinky they are.
Okay.
I found one. God bless whoever did the SEO for this website. The first one that shows up is from Lithuania.
Whoa. Well
so
done.
So it's not even a .com. It's a .lt. And it's called The Hot Room.
The Hot Room.
The Hot Room, which I think is a really good name for a bar, too. Like, wouldn't you go to a bar named The Hot Room?
The Hot Room? Yeah, absolutely. Only pretty people and hot toddies. Hot toddies.
I could go for a hot toddy right now. The opening homepage says, "Let the games start. This is the first escape room for which the environment is not artificial.
Wait.
The players are trapped in a real adult sex shop."
So is this translated into English?
I think that the website may have like a plugin that translates
Great. Okay, because "let the games start" is not what I was expecting that phrase to be.
Apparently, Lolita is the name of the room within the hot room.
Oh, God.
Lolita is a smart and horny owner of an adult sex shop, and she will imprison you in her nasty dream. And for it, you will not be a dream, but reality. You have to escape from her erotic fantasies or to remain there forever. Yeah, there's definitely a translation. Intimate experience is 60 minutes in the adult sex shop full of various erotic toys. Would you never dare to enter?
Would you, Kathleen, would you never dare to enter?
I don't know if I would go to Lithuania to begin with, so I'm never entering. We promise it will be really hot. Let the game start. Yeah.
Let the game start. Is there a woman there? Is Lolita there?
I think so. Yeah.
So she's like there being all sexy. Or is she like just an ever-present? Okay.
She's there and they showed pictures of the room. And there's like a lot of pornographic photos on the wall and whips and locks and attractive mannequin heads wearing like straps on their décolleté. Would you go to one of these? Like, I think I might go as a joke with a bunch of friends.
Here's who I would go with. I would only go with people who loved escape rooms and had to win at all costs so that they took all of this deathly seriously. I wouldn't want to go with a bunch of people who are like, and then like put a dildo on their forehead and like, I'm a unicorn.
Yeah.
Like I would want to go with people who were like scholars and they were like, okay, Ted, lift up that dildo. And is there a one under the dildo or is it a zero? Okay, Bethany, pick up the gimp mask. Is the gimp mask? No, the gimp mask isn't part of it. And then Lolita comes in over the loudspeaker and she's like, the gimp mask isn't part of it. And you're like, okay, sorry. Oh, and then someone is just like, okay, Petra, bend over and spread your cheeks. Do we have anything? No, nothing in the cheeks. Okay. Like it would have to be so serious. Ted, for God's sake, Ted, put the dildo down. That isn't part of it.
I think that you could dream up a pretty good sex escape room.
Thank you. But that would be fun.
The ideal sex escape room would have actors in it.
Yeah, I agree.
Most of them don't have actors because people who run sex escape rooms or escape rooms in general, like they rent out buildings that are just desperate for someone to rent them.
Yeah, it's like an old IKEA.
Yeah, they're there for like a handful of weeks. Yeah. They pair up with Groupon. There's a famous escape room in Boston called Trapology, and they have a sex room called Booby Trap.
So they didn't work real hard on the name for that one.
And it has mixed reviews, but no only kidding. Because people going there for true BDSM are disappointed.
Of course, if you're going there because you actually think you're going to be like signing a contract with a trusted person who's actually going to like, you know, poke you with their stiletto, you're going to be bummed out if you go there and you find out, you know, Ted is looking for a plastic dildo number.
I mean, like Trapology on their website is like, some of these escape rooms are family friendly, perfect for ages 6 and up. So no, you're not going to get spanked and like fingered up the ass at an escape room called Booby Trap. Okay,
No, you're not.
So this was one that happened in New York in 2016. It's no longer around.
COVID.
But I have quite a lot of details about this one. No, I think it just closed.
Okay.
So it was called the Kamada Quest.
Ooh.
Which Kamada is, I believe that it means room in Russian. So it's just room quest.
Okay. Okay.
And so here's the theme and the story for this Kamada Quest escape room.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, I know all this because there is a blogger who goes to escape rooms all over the place and then writes about them afterwards and like rates them.
Speak of talking about designing your own life. That's a great gig.
The blog is roomescapeartist.com. Okay. And this is where I got this information. The Kamada Quest sex escape room. Ooh. We were agents dispatched to investigate a house of ill repute.
Ooh, a brothel.
Literally everything was sex and kink themed. Let's be clear. We're not talking about a cutie sex themed game. The Kamada Quest. Oh my God, I have a hard time with that word. Kamada Quest was not fucking around.
Whoa.
Now, the blogger took a lot of pics of stuff that was inside, and it was, like, a lot of furry handcuffs. There was red lighting
everywhere. Like furry handcuffs are fucking around. Like, if you're not fucking around, I want some of those, like, electrified handcuffs, you know?
So the blogger went on to say, there were no actors in this game, but at times we had to physically restrain each other for brief periods on a bed.
Love this!
Luckily, we didn't have to put anything in anyone's mouth.
And you know one person in their party was a little disappointed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I always find myself, like, touching my chin or touching around my mouth. And sometimes I'm like, do I have an oral fixation? I wonder.
Mm, hard to say. Mm,
yeah. There is an interaction where two players have to have some contact with one another, but it isn't especially sexual. And for reference, the people who did this interaction when we played were my wife and my brother-in-law. So,
okay. This would be amazing.
Yeah.
If you were going with three other people mm-hmm. and all of you had sexual tension.
Yes.
With at least one other person, but preferably all with each other.
Oh, yes.
Because then it's like, okay, now it's an excuse for like mm-hmm. Alec and Richard to mm-hmm. like get a little close. Or it's an excuse for you and Richard and Alec to get a little close. And then maybe at the end of it, all four of you are like
getting a little close. Nobody's a couple, but everybody is like physically attracted.
Yeah. If you're all theater majors, basically get four theater majors into this because all they want to do is make out and have sex with each other anyway.
So the best part about this Kamada sex room was something in the room called the breast directional lock.
Okay, great. Tell me more.
And on this blog post, there's like some creepy guy that was like, tell me more about this room. Will I get spanked? Like, I was like, dude, okay, you're definitely looking in the wrong place. Like, this is like a game. Anyway, the breast directional lock. It was a foam boob on the wall set against a sexy painting of Snow White. The breast spins when you twist it. And then there's a puzzle that you solve that will give you the spin pattern. It's especially memorable to many because the way you interact with it bears no resemblance to how breasts actually work or ought to be touched.
Is there a picture of it on the blog?
There isn't, no. And I looked it up and there's like no information.
So it's over a picture of Snow White. Like, I'm guessing Snow White is painted as topless. And this is one of her, but in my head, when you said that, it was like just a painting of Snow White and they like put it in her forehead. Like, it was just like, where else are you going to put it?
And apparently there's like a moaning sound effect that's triggered when you twist Snow White's foam breast.
That must have been a ball to design. It really must have been fun.
So apparently there's also like a video you watch, and this particular room came from Russia. So it's like English dubbed over someone speaking Russian. So this got me. I was like, okay, but where are the real sex escape rooms?
Yeah.
Turns out there's like no real sex escape rooms, or they're not written about widely on the internet.
Yeah, they're probably like, it's just word of mouth.
Escape rooms, like, they can be a little bit cheesy. I would love to know what's rated the number one escape room in the world or something.
Yeah, because I mean, there's like haunted houses experiences, but then there's like you get abducted and beaten experiences. You know, there's like always the one venue that takes it to the extremes and you have to sign a waiver. I'm sure there's something like that with escape rooms.
We got to find it.
Yeah.
Until then, I'm here to tell you about kink conventions and BDSM dungeons.
Amazing.
So if you're thinking, I am new to BDSM, can someone show me the ropes?
Literally, they can, but sign this consent form first.
But I'm here to tell you all about it. But it's sort of like the blind leading the blind, because I'm a little bit prude when it comes to this stuff.
You're never nude.
Okay, so there is an escape bodysuit, Bethany, that you can buy on the website bondagewebbing.com.
She immediately starts to Google.
/collections/bondage-escape-games.
.html.gov.
It's a full bodysuit. You know when you go to Party City during the Halloween season and you can buy those full bodysuits that cover your head and they come in colors like green or purple or whatever?
Yeah, totally.
So it's essentially that, but it has gold leggings and they have four different bondage escape bodysuits ranging from $64 to $259. Are you looking at them right now?
I am.
Are you into this? Is this what you're into?
No, because it panics me. So
yeah, you wouldn't be able to see. I don't think you can see anything.
No, it goes over your whole body.
It goes over your whole body and your ankles and your wrists. Like, everything's tied together depending on what bodysuit you buy. And it's essentially like an escape room within a bodysuit. You literally have to escape.
So it's really interesting. So it looks like it's so you can get a bunch of different. They're like harnesses, basically. So it's like, it's like you put on the full suit, but then you also have a harness that goes over it.
Yes.
And the harnesses, like, some of them go over your whole mouth.
Yes.
Some of them wrap around your whole body like a bunch of times. What I'm thinking is this has to be a nightmare to figure out when you first pull it out of the package, because I once couldn't figure out how to put on a vest. And all you have to do is like put your arms through it. But for some reason, I stood in Macy's and I could not figure out how to put a vest on. Just one of these has like 17 different locks and like,
yeah.
This has to be so hard.
If that's something you're into, that's something you could do in lieu of a sex escape room. There's also a BDSM video game.
Ooh.
If you Google BDSM video game, it comes up. Escape room video game.
This is really going to ruin my algorithm for everything. Hold on.
Couldn't get it to work. But there's like a whole backstory that you read before you play the video game. And the backstory is that there's a girl named Mia, and Mia visits James at his apartment the first time they meet, which is red flag.
No, meet in a public place.
Meet in a public place. And she says that in the backstory. She's like, I was hesitant, but you know, whatever. Turns out Mia was bored with her sexual partners, the ones who specifically fed in her desire to be submissive. Anyway, her friend was like, if you're a bored submissive, you have to meet James. And she goes to James' apartment and James is like, I have a sex escape room and I'm going to put you to the test. And then she goes into the escape room naked and blindfolded. And then the video game is you have to help Mia get out of the sex escape room.
Is she...
This is like a lost chapter of Grey's... No, anatomy.
50 Shades of Grey's Anatomy. Wait, does she want to get out of the escape?
That's the home.
Who are you?
You're
are
Mia. You're
James.
You're Mia helping.
You're Mia,
like figuring out the escape room. I couldn't get it to work on my computer. I'm gonna put the link in the show notes. But moving on.
Yeah.
Apparently,
I'm stuck on. I'm gonna try to play this. Play the game. I'll let you know how it goes, Mia.
Apparently, BDSM, according to Cosmo in the UK, they just did an article about it a couple days ago. It's risen in popularity quite significantly over the past year.
Really?
And I wonder if that's because people are looking for new things to try in their lives because of COVID.
Yeah, stuff has gotten real boring. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, BDSM is like such, if it's done properly.
Yes.
From what I've heard, I'm not in the community, so I'm sure we have listeners who are and you can correct us. But like... there's a lot of trust involved. Mm. Like, it's not one of these things where, you know, you don't have any control over what happens. Like, you have contracts of this is what, you know, this is what I will do. This is what I don't want done to me, blah, 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 blah. And it's like sometimes more of a trusting relationship than you even have with like your family, because you're literally saying to this person, you can do these certain things to me, but I trust that once I'm all bound up, you're not going to break my trust and do something that violates me. And that's kind of amazing, actually.
Well, I learned so much about BDSM. I thought it was just about kinky sex, and it's really not about, I mean, yes, you do have kinky sex.
yeah, there's that.
Sometimes. There's like this whole other social aspect to it. So Cosmo did this article about all of the apps that are out there now to help you find BDSM partners. And a lot of these apps make you put in your legal ID so you're not getting catfished. Wow. Like, there's no one creepy. There's an app called KinkD, all one word, KinkD, is an awesome app because not only are all the users open-minded and into kink, but that also puts them through a photo verification process. Everyone has to submit their IDs and prove their profiles are actually them, and it makes the community a lot safer.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Another app called Field, F-E-E-L-D, is an all-around sex-positive app. Whether you're looking for a threesome, you're curious about ethical non-monogamy, or you just want to find someone who matches your kinks, you can select from 20-plus sexualities, list what you're into in your profile, and you can make an account as a couple.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm going to link in the show notes to this article, but there's a whole bunch of other apps that Cosmo is saying if this is something that you maybe want to explore that you should use.
That's great. I wonder if, I'm not even joking, like I wonder if these apps are going to now have a part where you like have to upload your COVID results. Like once people are able to get the vaccines, if you have to like, you know, upload a picture of you with your card that says, you know, I got the vaccine on this date and here's the second vaccine.
Oh, I never thought about wonder. That.
Well, I don't know.
I was reading this other journal. I mean, there's endless interesting things out there about BDSM. This is what I do.
Are
with
you
my
thinking
time.
About maybe one day taking off your jean shorts in the shower?
You know
or
what, Bethany, if
keeping those on,
it's a possibility. Never say never, right?
Never say never.
There is a sociology professor at, and I'm going to hack this name, Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C. The sociology professor's name is Julie Fennell. And in a recent study, Professor Fennell found an increase, like a growth in the BDSM social scene. This has led to more BDSM meetups being non-sexual. And that is because...
Really? Like people are making friends?
People are making friends. But also, it is my understanding that it's like a game. It's a fun game. Sometimes it's about control or losing control in a way that's very controlled within the acting partners. And the longer you're in the BDSM community, the more likely you are to not have sex on the first BDSM date/playgroup meetup with someone because it's more about having fun and less about like the Falcon.
Oh my gosh. I wonder how much of it is that fun like the buildup to, you know, like the sexual tension and like the what are we going to do and like let's make it last longer. Let's make that tension last longer.
Yes.
I don't, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's, I don't know how much attraction comes into it. I'm not sure.
Obviously, it's different for everyone, but this study found that the longer you're in the community, the less about fucking it becomes.
That's so interesting. That's awesome. I'm glad that there are more ways for people to get into this safely and feel good about it.
I can kind of see the wheels turning in your head, Bethany. Maybe.
You know what? I've said it before. I am very sex positive for everyone else and very sex negative for myself, filled with shame.
Listen, you've had a threesome in your life. That's more than I can say.
We have actually said that on the podcast, or have we cut it out every time?
Can we leave it in this time?
I may or may not have had a threesome at some point in my life. But it's – no, I think it's great. I really think that this is wonderful. And I love that there are apps to, like, hook all these people up.
To close off my section.
Yes.
I found this really cool, very open first account blog post from a woman named Kayla Lords. Her website is kaylalords.com.
Okay.
And it's called What to Expect at the BDSM Dungeon When You're New.
Ooh, this is very cool and helpful.
Okay, so Kayla, you can follow her on Instagram at @kinkykaylalords. She says, the first time I went to a BDSM dungeon, my biggest fear was making myself look silly. Here I was, eyed wise, mouth agape, staring at things that I'd only ever read about. Like, I would love, Bethany, wouldn't you love to go? Because you know that you can go and you don't have to participate.
That feels unfair. If I was like there and I was looking to hook up, I wouldn't want looky-loos just hanging out at the bar.
No. Here's the thing. In BDSM dungeons, it is my understanding that there are playrooms and then there are social rooms. And in the social rooms, there's like food and drinks and there's a bar and you can hang out and you can be naked or fully clothed in the social room.
Oh, that's cool.
And even in the playroom, I think like it's totally your choice about how much you're wearing. You can like look at the different rooms from afar and it's not, you're allowed to do that in BDSM.
Oh, okay. I'd hang out in the front room and have a cocktail.
So Kayla says her first time she went, there was a St. Andrew's cross in the corner and it was so big. Do you know what that is?
I'm just picturing a big cross. I don't actually know what it is.
It's just a big X and you strap somebody to it.
Oh, cool. Can you spin them around or is that just a game show?
I think that might just be the game show.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But she also said there was a swing set with no swings because, duh, there was a rope suspension bar.
Fun.
And that there was a woman with her boobs on display. And she's like, wow, people really do get naked here. Those were just her initial impressions. As time went on, her dom asked her for a cup of water and she had to navigate the red cup versus the blue cup because one was for dominance and the other one was for submissives. And then she had to bring him this cup of water and chant, please don't spill, while she was holding it over her head before she safely delivered it to him.
Whoa.
Yeah. Then he put a collar on her and she knelt on a cold cement floor in front of strangers and they weren't even watching. She said, I was so concerned about people staring at me.
Yeah.
And it felt like there were all eyes on me, but really nobody was watching. We were all just doing our thing.
Seeing a submissive kneeling on the floor with a collar on is probably the equivalent of like living in New York and seeing someone crying on the street. It's like you see it every day and you don't even notice.
Yeah.
You're so just like, wow. It's so normal and basic.
They're having a bad day.
Yeah.
And so she says, when someone tells me that they're nervous or afraid to go into a BDSM dungeon, she's like, listen, it is totally only what you are comfortable with. She says, every club is a little bit different. They all have their own community quirks or styles, but there's enough commonalities between them that you try a couple of different ones that you'll feel comfortable. And apparently, before you go into every room, because BDSM dungeons have different rooms for different things, you have to sign in before every room that you go into. So not only do you have to like show ID and pay to get into the club, then you have to sign in into every single room. So you're showing your ID multiple times throughout the night.
I wonder how many celebrities go here. Like, I know that there's one club, I think, and it has like a New York location and an LA location, and I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
But it's like a masquerade sex club that's very popular with celebrities. And I know that's it was hit hard by COVID. But, you know, I can see the draw of that because you are in a masquerade and so your face is covered. But, yeah. like, what if you're a celebrity and you're really into BDSM and you just really want to go to a club and then all of a sudden everyone's talking about how they, you know, hooked up with Tom Cruise or something?
You know what? If I could have my face covered, it might be something. I don't know.
I mean,
you're a different, you know, we talk about moving to new cities and starting over with your personality and who you are all the time. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that, but for only one night.
Yeah. It's called Sanctum, by the way, but it's no vowels, obviously. So it's SNCTM, Sanctum.
And a lot of these BDSM clubs, they give tours for newbies. So you can go and actually tour the place ahead of time, you know, at a specific, you know, time whenever they're doing the tour. So when you show up there, you're a little bit less nervous because you already kind of know where everything is. And you learn the rules on the tour.
That's really nice. That's really, really nice. They're so respectful, apparently.
And these dungeons have dungeon monitors. So much like an escape room where, you know, they're watching you from the camera and, you know, like they intercom you clues when you can't figure it out. Like, look in the corner.
Yeah. Or please try not to break the electronics, which is what they yelled at us.
Dungeon monitors keep an eye out for you to make sure everyone's playing safe.
How do you get to be a dungeon monitor and how do I get to be a dungeon monitor?
Right? That sounds like a really cool job.
I would love to be a dungeon monitor.
Yeah.
I'm
freaking myself out.
Gentle listeners, if you're a sex dungeon monitor, can you let us know what your job is like and can we get one of those?
She goes on to say how I explained before, there's a social area for kinksters who just want to socialize and there's the play area, which is most always open for public viewing. Get naked if you want. Don't if you want. That is it.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's so much going on. You know, when you go to bed at 7:30 like I do, there's so much that you miss. I just feel like there's a whole world out there that I forgot about.
Bethany.
Yeah.
BDSM really isn't good for one night stands. Do you know why?
Why?
There's usually strings attached.
So you have jokes. You have a BDSM jokes then is what you brought here to the table.
A man walks into the library and asks, where are your books on BDSM? Mm-hmm. The librarian replies, they're still being bound. What is exactly sexy about BDSM?
What?
Beats me.
There it is. There it is. Proud of yourself?
Mm-hmm. Very.
Kathleen, I'm going to give you the option to choose. Do you want to hear about exploding head syndrome or Valentine's Day gifts you could have gotten your partner?
Oh, Valentine's Day gifts, for sure.
Then let's do that. All right. Kathleen, as this comes out, Valentine's Day has passed.
Yes.
Did you do anything?
No, I didn't.
We didn't either.
What are you supposed to do? I'm not going to go out to a restaurant when I don't have to.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of good TV in the house, so, you know.
Yeah, and also you've been with Neil forever. Like, you don't have to prove your love on a specific day, you know. Oh,
I loved in middle school breaking up with boys on Valentine's Day just to prove to them how I didn't need them and they needed me more than I needed them.
Kathleen!
I've done this more than
so
once.
That's so awful.
It's terrible.
I didn't have a boyfriend in middle school, nor did I have a boyfriend in high school. I got my first boyfriend right before my freshman year of college.
Oh, that's sweet. What was his name?
Ben. He was lovely, except he did tell me he wanted to have sex with my friend Jenny, but that was like 2 months into our 3 month relationship, so things were almost over.
I like the name Jenny. I like the name Ben. Are they still together?
No, they were never together. No, he just wanted to have sex with her. He told me that when we were sitting under a tree in my front yard and his head was in my lap.
Yeah.
And we were like enjoying the summer day, young love. I was like, you know, 18. And he was like, you know what? Sometimes I want to fuck your friend Jenny. And then I was like full into thinking that I had to make boys feel good about themselves. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's okay. Thank you for being honest with me.
Jeez Louise. Girlfriend, I'm glad that you've grown a pair of balls.
Yeah, I would have stood up so fast that his head fell to the ground.
I don't like that name anymore. Fuck Ben.
Ben? I mean, I think he's fine. He also was like a year younger than me. Whatever, you know, whatever. Okay.
Before we get into this topic, since we're talking about Valentine's Day,
yeah.
What is the most romantic thing that anyone has ever done for you?
Oh, man. I have to say, so it ties with two. And they're both my current partner. But
that's really sweet.
He's really sort of like proven to be the person that I needed to heal my soul. But I was with a series of guys who didn't want to date me publicly. Like, they didn't want me to, like, be their public girlfriend. They just wanted to privately. So yeah. The first date that we ever went on, Dennis took me to the Met, which was his favorite museum and was also very public. And yeah. He was like, I want people to know that we are dating, and I want to hold your hand in public, and I want people to know that we are together. And at one point, like, we were in this huge, like, big room with, like, the Egyptian thing on one side. Yeah. And he just kissed me in front of everyone. And he's like, because you are my girlfriend and everyone should know it. And that was, like, such a simple, small gesture that was so huge to me. And the other one was this year. It was my birthday. Everyone had a quarantine birthday this year. And, you know, he just made it so special. Like, he made a playlist of songs he had realized I loved. And, you know, just, like, all of this. So it was really lovely. I would say those two. What about you? Yeah, he's very sweet.
Well, I want to say something that has struck a chord with me recently was the other night I've been trying to find ways to battle sleep anxiety. And Neil held me. And at first I was like, ew, get off of me. Like, I can't be touched when I'm trying to fall asleep. And then I literally fell asleep in his arms because he just wanted to keep, like, a hand on my back to make me feel better and take my anxiety away. And I thought that was really, 8 years into marriage and 15 years into a relationship, like, that was what it was about. But
that's so sweet.
But also at a middle school dance.
This is what I'm looking for.
This guy, Martin.
Yeah, Martin. Good name.
Martin. He was like, Kathleen, I knew I was going to dance with you tonight, so I didn't wear any cologne because I know that smells bother you.
Oh, wow.
I know. And then Casey and JoJo came on.
All my life. That's really sweet, especially for, like, middle schoolers.
I know, right? Yeah. And then we went out to the vending machine and got a Surge. And you know, we were sweaty and we were just drinking our Surge soda. So, that's it.
That's really cute. Did you kiss
or
anything?
Small gestures. No. Never
middle
kissed
school.
Martin.
Okay, so this is what I did. So in my life, I never realized really that it's a holiday until the holiday is passed, except for like the Christmas and the, you know, Thanksgivings. But if it's your birthday, I won't remember till it's passed. If it's Valentine's Day, I'm not going to remember till it's passed. So I'm forcing you to be in that headspace with me. Here are a bunch of Valentine's Day gifts that you could have gotten for your partner if you had remembered in time.
Okay.
And they're awful. So I wanted to just, like, go through and find just some of the worst things that you could get someone. So here we go.
Okay.
Kathleen, and you gentle listener, play at home. Is your partner an alcoholic who loves a Renaissance festival? If they are, you could have gotten your partner a leather wine bag that comes with a chain handle and silver rivets. Now, Kathleen, I sent you an email that said, don't open this until we record. And it has several pictures in it.
Yes, that was yesterday. Yeah. And I was like, I was like, okay, let me check it out. And then I was like, wait a minute. Don't open it. Okay, let me open it.
So this has some of the photos of the items involved. And I'm not going to post them on social because I don't want to really, like, embarrass the people who create these. But if you open up one of them, it should say, like, leather wine pouch or something.
Okay. Listen, Bethany, there is a seat for every ass. Is that it? A chair for every ass?
There's a chair for every ass.
There is somebody who, even though you think that these are egregious offenses to gift giving.
I mean, clearly, because a lot of them are on Etsy and a lot of them were in multiple people's bags at once, but there was only one left, you know?
Do you think that that's a lie when a website is like, better get this, we only have two left, or this is in 11 people's bags? Like, do you think that that's a straight up lie?
I do, because there's one coming up that's awful and it was in 43 different people's carts. And I'm like, there's no way.
Maybe 43 different people have podcasts they would like to
bash
this product on.
I'm going to describe what this looks like for the listener at home.
Okay.
In the photo, it's like a burgundy colored leather, like a rich leather, and it wraps around the wine bottle, and then it has rivets that attach a strap over the top that the wine bottle neck goes through, and it's being held by a man who looks like he should be riding a horse. He's in a blazer with very nice pants, and he has the strap of this wine purse draped over his arm, so it looks like he's holding the football that the president has for the nuclear codes, where it's, like, chained to their hand. It looks like he's being chained to this leather one-bottle wine carrier.
Oh, Bethany, you are being way too harsh on this beautiful wine purse. That's a strapping bag.
It's literally just a bottle of wine on a chain.
Like, I would carry this.
Would you?
You would carry this,
no,
wouldn't you?
I would not carry this. How much do you think this is going for? We're also going to play this game.
Well, it's real leather, yeah, and it looks like a saddlebag, like a distinguished riding horse purse for your wine.
For one bottle of wine.
What? Yeah, because if you're going to a restaurant that's BYOB, you still want to look stylish going in. You're not going to brown bag it if you have someone to impress.
Are you going to wear a wine purse that's literally a bottle of wine stick? It doesn't hide the wine. It features the wine.
Yeah. Bethany, why would you ever want to hide your wine?
Well, how much would you pay for this?
It's probably going for in the 200s.
It's $111.35.
That's a fair price.
I feel like it's not. Okay,
no,
let's move
is.
On.
Okay.
Is your partner a gold digger? And do you have all the money in the world? You should have gotten them the Graff Hallucination Watch. This one I'm okay with us posting, Kathleen. This is a picture of a tiny watch face.
Yes.
Stuffed in the middle of every single color jewel you could possibly imagine.
Are these gemstones real?
Yes, they are all real. There's pink ones, there's clear ones, orange ones, blue ones, there's round cut, there's pear cut, there's diamond, there's square. And then the actual watch face is pink diamonds and pink diamonds.
So I could see someone in a K-pop band like really rocking this. This watch is so gaudy.
Yeah.
What do you do when someone gives you a piece of jewelry that you're like, oh, thank you, but I am never going to wear this? Like, what do you do? That's happened to me in the past multiple times.
I mean, you wear it when they're around. You put a little note on it.
Yeah.
You remind yourself who it's from and you wear it when they're around. The problem with this, though, is I'm doing the conversion right now because this was...
It looks like pastel gemstones exploded onto someone's wrist with the smallest, tiniest little stupid watch face right in the center of it.
Yes.
If I just saw a picture of this, I would never guess those real gemstones.
No.
Because my first instinct is that things that cost this much money cannot be this horrifically ugly.
That's the thing. That's the thing. What this looks like is something that is elastic that you would get at Claire's Boutique and it's elasticized and you like slip it on. But it is not. Everything is real to the point where the price is in Great British Pounds.
Yes.
How much do you think this thing costs converted to American dollars?
Oh, it's probably 10,000 American dollars.
Try so much more.
Are you kidding me? Who's going to spend that kind of money on Etsy?
This one is not on Etsy. This one's on like hushhush.com. How much do you think that this...
20,000 American dollars.
Nope.
Okay, so here's... Have you seen the movie Crazy Rich Asians?
No, I need to.
Oh, it's such a good movie. And there's this part where the richest, coolest, poshest girl, the cousin, she goes to this jewelry store and she doesn't shop in the front of the store. She goes to the back where they have the most exquisite, absolutely filthy, expensive jewelry. And maybe this is where they would put a piece like this because any Joe Schmo walking into this in the front of the store would be like, wow, this jewelry store is shit. Look how bad their taste is.
I mean, so, and the gems on this don't just stay on the front. They wrap all the way around the entire strap. This Graff Hallucination Watch is $55 million.
Oh, get out of here.
And when you go to the website, hushhush.com, you can add the quantity you want to put in your cart.
Money can't buy you class.
Let's see if I can add three. Add three,
can't
add
buy
a cart.
Taste.
Add to cart, and let's see how it did.
What's your total?
Yes. So $165 million in free shipping.
I like to play this game where I go to the Four Seasons Resort in Bali and pretend that I'm going to stay for a month and see how much it's going to cost.
So it's a fun game. I really enjoy it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Are you a lesbian and your girlfriend is also a lesbian? You could have gotten this, quote, Valentine's Day lesbian girlfriend gift, custom lesbian couple portrait painting, Valentine's Day lesbian gift for girlfriend photo gift. Hitting all those keywords.
Okay.
You send them a photo of you and your girlfriend, and they turn it into a painting, like a watercolor painting. But specifically only for lesbians, apparently. How much would you pay for this lesbian-specific watercolor portrait?
$50.
Higher, please.
Higher? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, that's like pink tax. They're putting a lesbian tax on this because I've actually gotten this done on Etsy before. And for my husband, for our first anniversary, which is the paper anniversary, yeah. I believe. And I sent our wedding photo to someone on Etsy and they did a watercolor of us. And it was like $35.
Mm-mm.
Okay, let's $135.
$229.77.
First of all.
But you can pay in four installments with Klarna, Swedish for shopping.
Okay, so I have a friend who works in like online sales. And I said to her, I said, how many people are really buying things on your website that are less than $100 using that payment system? And she says, more than you would think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so too. I just like the Klarna commercials because they make me giggle. Klarna, Swedish for shopping.
I understand using lesbian gifts if you're trying, if it's a good SEO strategy.
Yeah.
I get it.
But you don't need to feel like it's
and
a
also
little overkill.
It's like a little bit comforting to know that you have an artist who's down with your sexuality, like is okay with your sexuality. They're not going to paint you as a hideous monster because they don't believe in the gays.
It's a little much, though.
It's a little much, though. Yeah. I mean, how big is this watercolor? Is it a 5x7 or is it like a 20x20?
Let's look. That's also a really good question. I feel like I didn't do proper research. You can choose your dimensions.
Oh, okay.
And you can add personalization, which is nice. I wonder if they'll do just any couple and they're splitting up
who
it's for.
Do you have to be a lesbian?
Right. Like, could...
It just have to be two women.
Could you be two dudes? And or would they say, like, not two dudes?
No.
Just two women. So you can go from paper size, like 8.5 by 11 is going to cost you $229.77.
Insanity.
You can go all the way up to 25 by 19, which is $508.77.
All right. If anybody wants this done, I will do it for a flat $35.
That's very nice of you.
For a simple painting. Get in touch.
Okay.
Thanks.
Does your partner often describe new things as funky? Then you can get them. Kathleen, these are the photo album pictures that I sent you. Mm-hmm. It is a photo album with shit hot glued on it. A button, lots of lace, a tassel, ribbon, a dream catcher, a couple of butterflies, a picture of an owl, and half of a page torn out of a book glued onto the front of a photo album, and then give that to them.
So
how much would you pay for that, Kathleen?
I'm looking at this hodgepodge, hot glue gun, doily toily.
Gingham. Yeah, what are you seeing on the cover here? There's a bunch of different examples.
I mean, it's exactly like you described. It's a photo album that someone glued a layer of quilting fabric, and then they glued lace, and then they glued a random polyester flower, and then they glued some feathers, and then they glued a little trinket that says love with like an arrow going through it that's painted gold, and then they glued a patch of a butterfly. And you know how much I love butterflies, but this looks like someone's southern grandma's crafting box threw up and created a picture frame. And it is some people, just because you can glue it doesn't mean you should.
And what I'm realizing now as I'm going through it is it's every page is like this. So there's space on each page for one photo.
People who like that, what's that? Oh my God, I'm going to offend so many people right now, but whatever. What's that brand of bag that's quilted that's like crazy floral prints?
Oh, it's Vera. Is it Vera?
Vera Bradley.
Vera Bradley.
I'm sure Vera has some really nice stuff. Most of what I see of Vera Bradley is not my cup of tea. Someone who likes Vera Bradley would love this.
This is off-brand Vera Bradley. There are some Vera Bradleys that I find, like, I want Vera Bradley in a cabin because it always looks very cozy and comforting because it's always like a big quilted bag. And I'm like, I want to wrap myself up in that bag. This is like off-brand. It's pages of cardboard that someone's like, whatever. How much would you pay for this, Kathleen?
I wouldn't pay shit. I pay nothing. It's probably $65.
It's $130.
Oh my God.
And I think you can fit maybe 12 photos total.
Oh God. Okay.
So anyway,
I take back what I said about Vera Bradley because I'm looking at her Tropics plaid collection right now and I really like it. The backpack is real cute.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff. I mean, I've seen some Vera Bradleys in the wild that I'm not against. Okay. Is your partner classy?
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If so, you could have gotten your partner personalized boxer shorts that feature a beautiful flowing script that says, I licked it, so it's mine.
Yep.
Right over the fly.
Yep.
You can upload your photo to those boxer shorts. Mm-hmm. How much would you pay for the classy, I licked it so it's mine pair of boxer shorts for your partner?
$45. And I love these. Please send me the link. I'm going to order this.
They're only $19.95.
Except it's a lie because I don't like shit.
I licked it, so it's mine.
These are great. Bethany, I licked it so, and then mine is right over the dick part.
Uh-huh.
And you can put your face and hearts all over the rest of it. And I think this is the kind of Valentine's Day gift that I want.
You want for yourself, yeah, or to so give to your partner?
I have had friends who have given me gifts with my cat's face on in the past, and I love those gifts.
Those gifts are great. I'm just like a little bit, I don't know, maybe that's just not my sense of humor. There was like a candle you could get that said, light this whenever you want a BJ. You know, okay. Like, you know, I just like, those really aren't my aesthetic, but maybe.
I mean, I think it's funny, but are you really going to put that in your house?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And if you want that BJ, I'm going to come over and blow your candle out because it's not happening. I'm going to snuff your flame.
Yeah, right? It's not the kind of blowing that they want. It's the kind of blowing that eliminates a flame.
Oh, all right. Goodness gracious.
Does your partner need to eat their feelings? You could have gotten them this, which is what I really would have liked.
This is me.
You can go on Amazon and get the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Extravaganza, yep, Candy Bouquet.
This is amazing.
This is fucking incredible. Will you describe it, Kathleen?
Well, yeah, I'm just going to say that it's a orange bouquet that someone has somehow faceted together all these different Reese's peanut butter cups, like the full-size ones,
yeah,
into a bouquet that literally, like, the bottom of it is tied with tissue paper, some kind of decorative paper, and then there's flowers, polyester orange daisies glued in there, and there's ribbon at the bottom. It's gorgeous. There's gorgeous. Some green leaves in there, and I think that this is the Valentine's Day equivalent of when someone makes a diaper cake for, yeah, a baby shower.
Yeah. It's great. It's expensive. It's $44.99, oh, but Jesus, well worth it.
You know, I think I could probably make this myself, and maybe I should start selling these.
Absolutely. You'd be going up against the brand Gifts to Go Now.
You know, in 2022, when craft fairs are a thing again,
yeah,
I'm going to sign up for a craft fair.
Girl.
In my, no, not in Hoboken. This needs to be like a little bit more small town feel. In a small town, I'm going to sign up for a craft fair and I'm going to make candy bouquets and sell them. And I'm going to make a killing.
Dude, sell it in my neighborhood. You would sell the hell, because I'd buy all of them. I love anything in bouquet form, especially if it's candy, especially if it's Reese's. I'll eat the hell out of that.
It's like when you have a kid selling a Girl Scout cookies and they sell out first because dad bought 75 boxes.
Because dad was like, I don't want to ask my coworkers.
No.
I'm just going to buy them all. All right.
Can we just, for a second here, someone gives you a gift, doesn't matter what it is, not your taste. You mm-hmm. really don't like it. It's hideously offensive.
Yeah.
What are some polite ways that someone could navigate that situation?
You absolutely have to be grateful and gracious. There's no other option. You have to be like, this is, thank you. Because someone thought of you to give you a gift. That's like ultimately, yeah, at the end of the day, someone right. spent their time, yeah, or money or both, yeah, mm-hmm, to create or buy something for you. So yeah, I don't think we can lose that perspective. So I think you have to be like, thank you so much. That was so thoughtful of you. Oh my gosh, where'd you find this? Are these seashells? Oh my God, are these real seashells? Did you collect these?
Did you make this?
Where'd you find these?
Did your child make this?
Yeah, no, no.
So this reminds me of the time that once my mom and my dad took a trip out to Pennsylvania to go to this famous hunting store called Cabela's.
Cabela's! Guns and shoes.
My mom brought me back a t-shirt that said Cabela's.
Cabela's!
I was like, thanks, Mom, but like, I'm not a hunter, and also I don't like hunting, and also... Thank you.
Nope, you just have to be gracious and say thank you and be excited.
Thank you.
You'll deal with the repercussions later. It's like when someone proposes, yeah, to you in public, like on the Jumbotron. You just have to be polite and gracious and say thank you and then deal with it afterwards privately.
I saw this video where this guy proposed to this girl publicly and she's like, no. And he's like, all right, bitch, take off those shoes. Give me your purse because I paid for all of that and I'm out of here. Oh, no. You know, you could say to someone, this is really unique.
This is funky. This is funky.
This is funky and unique, and I've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah, there you go. It's like going to someone's, yep, play. and the play is terrible.
Oh, God.
You
know, I've been there.
You have to be like, how'd you memorize all those lines? Mm-hmm. The lighting was really interesting.
Your parts were great.
Yeah. Yep. I loved the costumes. You know, you have to find something. There's one more.
Okay.
Do you straight up want to waste your money?
Okay. Always. I do anyway.
You could have gotten your partner this.
Okay.
The Million Roses, 24,000 Golden Red Roses Black Love Box. This is a heart-shaped black box.
Okay.
It is filled with real roses. The border roses are 24 karat gold.
Okay.
The inside roses are roses. Now, these are real roses in that they will die.
Mm.
They will last up to 3 years because they're infused with this gel something or other.
Is that what fuels those roses that never die that everyone has that are like so expensive?
I don't think so, because aren't those like in a box?
Yeah, they come in a box and you can't take them out. What are those things called?
I don't know.
Roses that never die. So they're infused with a gel.
Mm-hmm.
They're called the Venus something something.
Okay. This is Venus not those.
Venus LaFleur.
Because I thought this was those, but these will die, just much slower.
Okay.
The gold roses along the outside are spray painted with a 24 karat gold spray paint. Now, here's the issue. They will die within 3 years. Like, that's kind of the longest they last. Okay. But because they're dying with the spray paint on them, they're going to crackle and the spray paint is going to slowly fleck off.
So
how much would you pay for this?
$0. It's fucking bullshit. And I don't believe in this gel. I think whomever's selling this is trying to pull the wool over the buyer's
eyes. It says, our team of floral experts perform a sophisticated technique allowing the flowers to maintain their natural fresh cut appearance. Instead of leaving them to dry, they undergo a rehydration process that involves being placed within a mixture of glycerin and other plant elements. The liquid gradually rises through the stem, transforming the rose into the longest lasting flower on the market.
Here's the thing. If this is such magical gel, why don't they give this to humans who are going to die?
I was going to say, why don't you give it to my face? Rehydrate under my eyes a little bit, would you mind?
Why don't I give it to my grandma so we could have gotten a couple more years with her?
That would have been nice.
Okay, this is probably $300.
It's $389 so that's like $130, $125 for every year it's alive.
Yeah,
and then they die.
Gentle listener, do not spend your money on this shit. Make someone a homemade card. Or give someone cookies.
But don't give them to Kathleen because she's apparently not going to appreciate them. And she's going to rip them apart.
I'm sorry. I'm so grumpy. Right. I don't know why.
Why are you so grumpy, Grumpy?
All right. Can I cheer us, you and me both up?
Of course.
Okay. I have some jokes for you.
Oh, God.
Who always has a date on Valentine's Day?
Who?
A calendar. Okay. I already told that one.
Is it the same calendar joke?
It was the same calendar joke. Okay. How did the coin propose to his girlfriend? He gave her a jingle. Haha. Get it? Coins jingle in your pocket.
Oh, yeah. I get it.
Okay. Which Valentine's Day message can you find in a honeycomb? Be mine. Bees make honey.
I get it.
Get it?
Because of the bees. Yeah, no, I get that one.
Why are artichokes so beloved?
They have a good heart.
Because they're known for their hearts. You were on the right path, Bethany.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
A couple more.
Okay.
When do bed bugs fall in love? In the spring.
Oh.
Get it? Springs at your bed.
I get it. Yeah. I kind of like that one. But it also does re-traumatize me from my bed bug situation.
I'm so sorry. What did one piece of toast say to the other?
I see Jesus.
Nope. Mm-mm. You're my butter half.
Oh, I like that one too a little bit.
What's the best recipe for a perfect morning on February 14th? A hug and a quiche.
I love quiche so much.
Bethany.
Yes.
I have a little show and tell today.
Ooh, I love show and tell, especially for podcasts because they're a visual medium.
For section four, I have a bottle of Topic hair building fibers.
Yes. Topic.
You've heard of this brand?
I have. I have heard of this brand. One of my favorite YouTubers, James Welsh, tried it on his beard.
Oh, did he build the hair fibers on his beard?
He did. Do you use Topic?
So Gen Z owes me $29.99.
Why?
Because now that I'm doing the center part,
yeah.
Because if you don't, you're not cool. I've been very self-conscious that my part is too white. And so I've been using Topic hair building fibers mixed with some eyeshadow to fill in my center part.
Wait, so you're worried that like the skin showing from your scalp is so pale?
Yeah, because my hair is maybe not as thick as it used to be.
Who is seeing it?
Bethany, I don't know. All I know is I was feeling very vulnerable walking the halls of CVS on Friday, waiting for my prescription to be ready.
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess I need this to the tune of $29.99.
Mm-hmm. Is it working?
I don't know.
I mean, your hair looks great. Your part looks very clean and straight. Thanks. Look, I know a lot of people are struggling with this center hair part thing. I have a prominent nose, as we've mentioned before. And what do you do with the center part? It draws attention to the center of your face.
I think you're crazy because I don't have the smallest of noses and I'm doing the center part.
You look great. I think you look great. You know, we all have to, we all are just living in the Gen Z's world. I'm all about it. I think they're going to change the world. I think they're funny and smart. And if they tell me to part my hair, I'm going to part my hair in the middle. I'm going to do whatever Gen Z tells me to do.
I really like your lip color today, by the way. What color
Thank
is
you.
That?
It is expired lip pot cheek color.
Oh.
And then with a little bit of...
I love expired. It's my favorite color.
It's my favorite brand. this is called Tower 28. It's lip jelly in the color Fire.
Oh,
it's
how like many an years orange. Ago?
This is actually new. This is very new. So I'm excited about it. This adds like more of a coral color to the thing.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm also wearing expired today.
In what shade?
I'm in All Maze Blossom. And I think I got this in high school. I think I've had it that long. It smells like peanut butter.
Oh, was it supposed to? Or has it become?
It smells like peanut butter.
Yeah, so the thing I have on my lips, we used to, at our old job, Bobby Brown, the makeup artist, would come in a lot. And every time she came in, she gave all of the women just like tons of free product. Yeah. And so, you know, I didn't love that the company tests on animals. Mm. So I never bought her stuff, but I would use the stuff that she gave us. And so like this expired, it's like an expired cheek and lip pot, which is probably not the color it's supposed to be. And it was a little hard.
It looks great on
you. Whatever.
Yeah. We have an email from a listener. Can I read this? It's a surprise.
I would love to hear it.
It's a surprise for you, Miss Bethany.
I love a surprise.
The subject is Ariel advice.
Great.
It says, hi, Bethany and Kathleen.
Hello.
I have procrastinated in writing this email because I wanted it to be perfect, but I'm just going to write it anyway.
When is the email from?
The email is from a week ago.
Oh, we have procrastinated in answering it.
Yes. Usually it takes us 6 months to answer an email, so our procrastination time is shortening.
Yeah, it's getting better.
My name is Farah, and I'm a longtime listener. Your podcast has helped me in so many ways and continues to be the top thing that I listen to when I'm down, happy, and all in between.
Oh, that makes me happy.
Last year around this time, I started getting serious about my fitness goals. It feels so good to say that I have been keeping up with it. I never weigh myself. I just try to be aware of how I feel. Working out helps my body feel good, and it's good for my mental health.
Great.
Lately, though, I've been feeling very anxious, and exercising seems to help, even if it's just for 30 minutes. I was watching TikTok, and I saw that this mom was helping her daughter with her anxiety by teaching her Ariel. And Bethany, I immediately thought of you and how beautiful Ariel is, and I wanted to ask if you have any advice on starting Ariel silks. I am not flexible, but I am working on it. Would you recommend that I work on my flexibility first? Should I try out a class at a studio near me? I am always wary about group workouts because I'm very self-conscious, but I want to learn more about it. Anyway, I greatly appreciate both of you, and I hope that you understand how wonderful you are. Thank you, Farah.
Oh, Farah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for those kind words. That's so nice. Yes, no, you don't worry about working on your flexibility first. Flexibility will come as you get stronger. This is one thing that I didn't know. I thought flexibility was you're flexible if you can like shove your body into the splits, or you're flexible if you can lift your leg above your head by brute force. But flexibility is really about how strong those muscles are. So the stronger those muscles are, the better they can pull your legs into a split, versus your body weight crushing you into the ground and you forcing your legs apart. So, for example, I can do the splits if I'm using my body weight to sink me into the ground.
Yeah.
But if I'm standing on one leg and I bend over, I cannot lift my other leg up to the ceiling in a perfect split because I'm not strong enough yet. So you don't have to be like inherently naturally flexible. It will come as you get stronger, and you will get stronger by doing aerial or whatever the workout is that you're wanting to do.
I never thought about that before. I never
knew it.
Flexibility and strength really go hand in hand.
Yeah. And they have to, because otherwise, and keep in mind, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a physical therapist. I'm parroting what I've been told by experts, but it's also, you have to be strong so you don't hurt yourself. If your muscles and the tendons and the nerve endings aren't able to support a movement you're trying to do, you're going to hurt yourself. So you want to make sure that your nervous system is like on board with you, knowing that you're pushing this movement and your body is not panicking and you know, everything is working together. So do it. Just go to a class.
Really? Yeah. Is that how you did it? Cold turkey? You just went to a class?
I just went, and it took me 3 different times before I got the nerve to go in.
Wow.
I was taking classes at this big gym down by where we used to work. And the first time I went, I walked past the gym and I saw the instructor, Adam, and these 2 women hanging from fabric. And I got so nervous that I left. The second time, I got so nervous that I started crying and I left.
Oh my God, it's just like going to a BDSM club for the first time.
Exactly. And about the same level of clothing for newbies.
Yeah.
And then the third time, Adam knew to look for me. And as I started crying and running away, he goes, "Are you Bethany?"
Oh,
and I was like, yeah. And he was like, "Get in here." And he pulled me in, and you start very slowly. No one expects you to know how to climb or do anything.
Yeah.
All you have to do is show up and show up for yourself. Show up and try your hardest. And you're going to get so strong.
When I see pictures of you flying in the air, it just makes me think about how I could never climb to the top of the rope when we were doing the physical fitness challenge, you know, the test in middle school.
Come with me one time.
I can't. I'm too nervous. I'm too self-conscious.
I never invite anyone to aerial with me because it's my very favorite alone time, like getting there and back. But Kathleen, for you, because I think it would change how you view your body. Aerial for me has changed my relationship with my body because we've said before, like having an eating disorder, you're constantly battling your own body. And aerial has put the focus on getting strong, not the focus on getting skinny. And it's also when you're up there and you're holding on with your hands and you're trying to like get your feet into a knot or get your feet into a grip, you have to work with your body. There is no time for you to start beating up yourself.
Yeah.
Because you will fall. And
if you fall, you're dead.
And if you fall, you're dead. It's the only time during the week that my body and my brain are aligned together. So I would love, Kathleen, for you to come.
That's so beautiful.
It will change your life. Come with me. Yeah. So Farah, you should do it. It's good. It's fun. So Kathleen, what did you learn this week, my love?
Okay. Hang on. I'm pulling up my notes because it's written in there.
Okay.
You know, Bethany, why don't you go first for a second?
Okay, no problem. So I learned that if you are on a phone call or recording something or you're on a Zoom or whatever and you have really bad dry mouth, one thing you can do, because I get dry mouth all the time, run your tongue between the bottom of your teeth and your lip on the bottom and then along the top. And that motion should temporarily like surge some lubrication into your mouth. Like it helps stimulate saliva a little bit. I saw it on a tip sheet for NPR reporters.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. And it was really useful. So I know you're supposed to eat green apples. And then I know that now you're supposed
to apples will brush your teeth if you don't have a toothbrush.
Yeah. And
eat
I guess
an apple.
Green, because my sister recorded her own audiobook and they said like when you're recording, if you get dry mouth, eat a green apple. I guess there's something about the tartness of the green apple specifically that produces more saliva. So green apples and then run your tongue between your lips and your teeth above and below and that will help.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I learned a fun fact about animals. Can I share?
Please.
Armadillo shells are bulletproof.
Shut up. How did they test that?
Well, a man in Texas was hospitalized when he shot an armadillo and it ricocheted off of the armadillo and hit him in the jaw.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh at the jaw. hit.
He tried to shoot. Maybe the armadillo was attacking him. Like, we don't have all the facts here.
I feel like armadillos don't attack. They seem like they just sort of shuffle around.
Okay, I'm going to find out all the facts.
Tell me all the facts.
The Texas man tried to shoot this armadillo. It still doesn't say why he was trying to shoot the armadillo. Why are you trying to shoot the armadillo? Anyway, armadillos, their shells are bulletproof.
I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. You know, like, they evolved. They evolved at a time before guns. My guess is.
Yes.
And yet they found a way to be bulletproof, you know? Armadillos, the Kevlar of nature.
What is older, guns or armadillos? I'm joking. I know God made guns and armadillos, but he probably made armadillos first because they start with A.
They do. He had to get to G before he got to guns.
Bethany, where can people follow you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Ms. Bethany Watson, on Twitter at Radio Bethany. What about you, Kathleen?
At Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also find our podcast on social media, on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
We've got an electronic mail. Our address is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
You can also send us snail mail and Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
You can leave us a voicemail or a text message. At the end of every podcast, we play them. Our phone number is 917-994-0353.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. When you rate, 5 stars is the best. We love to hear from you, and it helps us go up the ratings. Do it on whatever platform you use to listen to the podcast.
This podcast is edited by the fabulous Charlotte Gartenberg. You can find her on Twitter at Chargar and on Instagram at lit_fog.
And the videos that we do of this podcast are edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on everything at Dennis Callow.
Did you just spell your boyfriend's name right? Callow.
Yeah, thank God. Oof. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. This one is for Bethany. I am at a drive-up COVID testing site, and I had to roll down my window to let this lady swab my nose, and I forgot to pause my podcast, and it is the bathroom episode, and all she heard when I rolled down my window was, anytime you need to go somewhere, know your public bathrooms. Needless to say, I was a little mortified, but I thought I'd share, and I hope this made somebody laugh today. I hope you guys have a great day. Hello, ladies. I hope this message finds everyone well. I am currently listening to this week's episode, and Kathleen, you brought up the Britney Spears documentary and how it didn't really make Justin Timberlake look very good. And it reminded me of another podcast that I really enjoy listening to. You should all check it out. It's called You're Wrong About. And they do a deep dive on Jessica Simpson's memoir that she published last year. And that also doesn't make Justin Timberlake look very good. So this is kind of like a layered voicemail. So check out the podcast You're Wrong About and specifically listen to the Jessica Simpson episodes. It'll make you really love her if you don't already. And again, doesn't make JT look very good. I hope everyone is having a really wonderful week. I love you. Bye.
This is Robert. I'll just call you guys to let you know that, you know, I'm outside my job right now. I'm going to be quitting in a couple weeks. It's really toxic. And thanks to you guys for giving me words of wisdom to look for something new and better myself. I got a couple interviews for next week, and I'm very excited. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I'm up to about episode 200, and I can't wait to see what comes next. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Michelle from New Jersey. I just finished your latest episode about staying productive when feeling depressed. I'm on my way home from work, and like so many others, I've been having an incredibly difficult time this past year. Work has just been awful, and I feel like my performance has been slipping, and I'm just feeling very isolated there and a little emotionally drained. So anyway, I just had to call in and say thank you, Bethany, when you ended your segment saying you're doing the best that you can. I completely lost it, and it's just what I needed to hear in that moment. So I'm very grateful for that and wanted to say thank you both for everything. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Taste Bud Jess. I'm just calling because I wanted to share something that has really boosted my mood recently. I wanted to share, I'm not sure if you guys have heard of these new temporary tattoos that are out now. So I ordered a whole bunch from inkbox.com, and they're amazing. So it's temporary tattoos, but not like in a cheesy way. They look completely real. You put them on, they last like between 2 and 3 weeks, completely like still bright, and just they look real. And you can decide, hey, I want to have a big tattoo on my arm today. And it's not permanent. It works really well if you're actually trying to figure out placement for a real tattoo, but it's just something fun that you can do. I spent like $70 on the website the other day, and I have a nice little tattoo of like some leaves and flowers on my inner bicep, and it's just giving me a lot of joy, and I really felt like you ladies would appreciate it. So just wanted to share. Hope you have a great day.
Hi, ladies. It's Hannah from Vermont. I just listened to the episode where Kathleen talks about tooth-related crimes and thievery, and it made me think of this story that one of my coworkers shared. She's kind of a kooky older lady, and she was telling us that I guess when she was in college, she took some kind of, like, I don't know, biology or, like, anatomy class, and she ended up with a glass jar of teeth. And she had put the glass over her sink in her kitchen, and at some point it fell, and some of the teeth went down the drain. Anyways, flash forward to like a year later, her sink is clogged, and she has to call someone out to come fix it. And I guess this guy's under the sink, and then he just kind of suddenly starts packing his things and starts leaving. And she kind of pokes her head under the sink to see what he was seeing, and sees these teeth that are just kind of pouring out of the pipes of her sink. And I guess she had to kind of chase him out and tried yelling, like, it's not what you think, they're not mine. And it didn't really work. He was gone. I don't remember how the story resolved or if she, you know, got her sink fixed or, you know, who came and fixed it. But I was thinking of that story the whole time during that episode, and I just had to share.
Hi, Stephanie and Kathleen. This is Taylor from Colorado, and I'm currently driving, and I'm listening to the newest episode where Bethany is describing, you know, people in movies yanking out the IVs and stuff, and I'm literally screaming, saying, no, the needle is not pointing away from your body. In fact, you don't even have a needle inside your skin at that point, it's fine. It's fine. I work in healthcare, so I know I've put in IVs before, and I hate needles, so the thought of anyone yanking something away, anyway, it made me cringe. But anyway, so the only time there's a needle inside your skin is when they're actively putting in the IV. Once the IV is in your skin and in your vein, the needle retracts, and all that's left is a little bendy plastic catheter. So even if they were pulling it away from them, it would be a bendy little catheter. You're not pulling out an actual, like, stiff, pointy needle. But anyway, the idea is the catheter inside your arm is facing, it's like going up towards you. So anyway, it's a little IV education, I guess. I love you guys. Goodbye.